Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, we've clocked them both in. The O-Dog and Al's brother running the 40-yard dash. O clocked in at 10.6, and Al's brother at 10.1. So what do you make of that?
I'm really sour that I wish I would have got a heads up on this to get my TV on a little quicker so I could have watched it, because I'm now past it. I would love to have seen this.
You will, believe me.
And it's going to be trending.
For a sandwich?
What?
Did you stop for a sandwich? Like,
buddy,
where'd you go?
I knew it wasn't good, but when I watched it, Hayes made the comment, "I'm not exactly quick out of the gate," but the problem is it doesn't get any better in the mid part, and the ending's no good either. It's a bad stride. Everything's bad.
So can this be worked on, or is this just like it's out the door?
Well, we're doing it Monday. I'm back in here, and Hayes thinks that me and Al's brother, we can't do 100 in under 30 seconds, 100-meter dash. So now Monday, we got to do the 100.
Ray, when you see this video, you extrapolate the final 20 yards from these two. Honestly, it's slower than an average walking pace.
Yeah, it is speed walking.
Just
the
more
end.
Body movement, right? Like their arms are going.
Thing, though, if it's 10.6 for 40 meters, I think you can do it under 30.
Ray, I'm telling you, you got to see the video. I hope so. I hope for his sake. And now that he is now, Ray, you got to understand, and you deserve this description and the context here. They did not get any chance to warm up. You guys didn't do any laps. You didn't stretch. It was basically right out of the car and into the race, which doesn't help anybody. But I don't know.
How do you think the warm-up, running a couple of laps, was going to help? It's farther.
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
I mean, a couple hammy stretches, something would have helped out
there. Like a touch your toes or something, and then off you go. But they both just started. Al's brother looked like Forrest Gump at the end. He had the wooden hobby horse legs going. He didn't bend his knees the last 30 meters. But he had the arm action, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he did.
A bear. It was a bear chasing another animal. It was awesome.
He was hungry, too. He had just come out of hibernation, and he was tracking something.
Chasing. There is going to be music put to this. This is going to be trending Canada-wide.
There it is. Al's brother, he's just out of the den, and he is sniffing.
Oh my!
Yeah, it's
seriously.
It's beautiful.
He's got his knee braces on the wrong way.
Ray, there was no flexion in there.
He beat
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's even better.
He beat O in the 40 yard in the official.
Go ahead, play him mine. Let him see mine.
All right, here's O, as you're watching it. Look at how slow he is out of the gate. It is just...
The first three steps are tough.
And it doesn't speed up.
It's like a record on the wrong speed.
Exactly. It's at 0.5 speed.
Yeah. I love it, though.
It's
I love
incredible.
It. And you know what?
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'm laughing. I wouldn't do any better. Like, I'm not a great runner, even though I'm...
I'll tell you, it's tough to do worse.
What's next on the decathlon, though? Like,
well,
on the
we're doing 100 meter on Monday because Hayes
But I mean, and then what? Like, is it all just running, or is it going to be like?
Well, there's like a pylon NFL route they run. It's like a box pattern. They time it. We might try that too.
Oh, you're going to do the actual combine stuff? That would be good.
Well, I lost to Al's brother in the vertical too. I had a 13 inch vertical. It's embarrassing to even say it, but that's what it is.
My
what an athlete.
Too.
What an athlete. The athletic ability of these two up at the combine, it's incredible. So it's out there. It's officially been clocked, and I guess we're all lucky to have witnessed this.
Yeah.
And we're getting a lot of feedback, too. So
thanks.
Well,
see what
imagine.
People can say. Yeah, you can imagine. Absolutely.
Well, we got to get that picture up, or that video, those videos up as fast as possible for people who are streaming.
And the vert shot of the two of them, it's basically Michael Jordan in 1987.
Hayes said Phil Knight catches wind of this. He's calling us both.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that shot on the right. That's the new Jumpman. That's Al's brother's Jumpman shot. Anyway, Ray, did you hear Sheldon Keefe try to dance around the trade deadline question earlier today, where he was posed, which he knew was coming. Like, everyone got it. But Babcock got it all the time. Keefe got it last year. Every coach in the league gets it. It's not like he doesn't know what's coming. But I think he did a pretty good job of basically saying, I'm not going to say anything. Like, I'm not going to out one position or one player, because it just doesn't – it's not going to help him, because that player is going to know exactly how the coach feels about him.
Right. I mean, there's no way for him to answer. And I think that so one of the follow-ups was – you know, if the roster's the same, are you going to be happy with it? Well, like, what are you going to say? You really can't really say anything about anything. And the best answer always is, well, that's the GM.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like there's, and the other thing, even if the coach was going to say something, I mean, they're not going to talk about what their plans are publicly anyway. I mean, I don't know, guys. I mean, like, look at their team. You can see where, you know, they keep moving the pieces around looking for something that they're happy with. And that means, in my opinion anyway, look, we got a good team, but we'd like to make it better because we can't quite get the set thing we like, whatever it is.
Yep.
And so, you know, like, yeah, they probably could use another winger. They would probably like a little bit of depth on defense. Can you do it? Can you find a way to do it? Can you move enough money out to bring enough money in to, you know, to make an impact addition? I think they would like to do that. I still keep going back to guys like the, as bad as the power play's been, I somehow think that's going to work itself out somewhere. They've got to, you know, I like that they're going back to what they were doing a little earlier with their personnel together. When they were, you know, a far more dangerous group. But in the playoffs, the five-on-five play is always the most important stuff. That's the stuff that carries your team. And their second line, you know, with Tavares and Nylander, doesn't produce a great deal at five-on-five. So as hard as Galchenyuk's worked and as positive as the reviews have been, I think it would, you know, that's kind of the spot I look at where if they could find somebody to help drive a little bit a five-on-five, then maybe that's, you know, the priority spot.
Ray, as far as the power play goes, you were great on the power play, and I'm pretty sure you were good at a down-low play. I would just like to see that kind of change the location of where the puck is coming from. And I'd love to see Marner down on the goal line. He could make that slot pass to Tavares. He could try to find Matthews seam. It would just kind of open up things, and if it doesn't work, maybe they could shift back to normality. But I would just love to see the puck go down low to Marner on the goal line, see what he can do from there. Because everything is, they know what they're doing. It's, you know, they go up to the blue line, they circle back, and it works. If they get that shot, it's great. But it's not working right now, so just change the location of the puck.
Well, if you flip the power play upside down, like if they were to decide to do that tonight, say, you might catch Winnipeg unprepared. You might catch a different attack that they're not really sure where the puck's going. I mean, we all, you know, we're all here all the time about the detail and all that stuff that the teams go through, the special teams in particular. Man, their coaches have watched every power play that Toronto has. And so any angle or any option that they have from their current setup, they've seen somewhere. And you're right. You played the power play too. Like, just something has to flip. Something has to change. And if it's Marner, as you say, Marner to the goal line, or they flip back over to the other sides, or, you know, or it becomes more of a shot power play, maybe. Like, something different.
Yeah. Even do something just, where you're like, oh, where Winnipeg's got to go, what the hell's this?
Well, you're right. But let me ask you guys this on the panel. And is Ovi, you guys know where Ovi's shooting from.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
nobody can ever stop it.
But my point is, Austin Matthews, you can see his wrist starting to get stronger and stronger as the games go by here.
Right.
Like, that one-timer is going to be available sooner than not. And you know what? There's another. Clearly, it wasn't available for a pocket of games there. So they had to adjust. So teams knew, all of a sudden, Matthews is in front of the net. He scored a goal I believe it was against Edmonton, a redirect in front, mm-hmm. where they had to move him around to get him out there because he wasn't available on that one-timer. As he continues to get healthy, like I'm of the mindset, maybe I'm wrong, is, yeah, you can try different looks, but if you've got a weapon over there, have him over there and establish your shot, move things around, but you've got a good enough passer in a guy that like Marner who can establish a shot and then fake and fire it through the seam. Now, I think it's a matter of time.
Everything went into a slump, right, so to speak, when Matthews all of a sudden wasn't at 100%.
Well, his shot wasn't available.
Okay, one thing about the Washington power play that, in my opinion, has made this thing run like it does for years, when Mike Green was there and then it was John Carlson, they've always had three shooting options.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's really hard.
Oshie in the slot, right.
Oshie in the slot, Carlson or Green on the point, and, of course, Ovi. And then you've got those two magicians in Kuznetsov and Backstrom moving the puck. So there's always different places the puck comes from. Yeah, it all kind of starts in that one place, but they can shoot it out of Carlson's hands. They get it into Oshie, and how many times have you know you've seen that one timer come from Oshie that's a goal, and then of course Ovi doing his thing. The Leafs don't have that similar option. Like, who does? I mean, not nobody. Nobody's got those kind of shooters to stack on top of each other. So I think they're, you know, they're certainly in a rut. Certainly Matthews' wrist has hampered their, you know, how dangerous they can be from that side of the ice, but that looks like it's going to clear itself up pretty quickly here. A change sometimes just for change sake, it's like rattling the lines around even for a period. Hey, they haven't scored in 9 games on the power play. I think it's 1 for 27. So a little change, it's not going to damage much.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would like to see something. I would suspect that at some point that's going to come. If it hasn't already, I think we can bank on it, if not tonight, certainly by the course of the weekend. I got to give Montreal credit. You know, we talked all that week when they were shut down, and I was basically projecting or prognosticating that they're going to have some
trouble.
Issues coming out of this. Absolutely. And, yes, it's Ottawa, but Ottawa's been playing a lot better. And they play it, you know, you play it tough, and they make you earn your points. And they dismantled them last night. They did the same thing to Edmonton a couple of nights ago. I'm impressed. You know, I'm really impressed. And maybe that week, is it possible it gave Dominique Ducharme an opportunity to reset mm-hmm. as the new
Help
head coach?
Help them find their kind of new identity, possibly, Ray.
Potentially, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the first game against Edmonton they were going to come out and, you know, like just be cats running all over the place, all this energy. They haven't played in a while, and they were really good. I mean, they got Edmonton was half asleep for, you know, they played a second game in 2 nights, but they were half asleep for 15 minutes, and the game was over. And then, so now they played 2 games. They're 8-1 goals against, 4 and against. They're, you know, they're 4-0-2. In their last 6 games, and you know, maybe it's a, you know, you're right, a little bit more time to, you know, to get the message out to the guys, but they couldn't do anything. They still had to go out and execute. I think they've been a much better team. A lot of us have been focused in on the way that they keep shooting themselves in the foot in overtime. You know, they've lost so many points, I think 9 of them now in overtime, but they were playing well in a lot of those games. Like they went one game they lost to Winnipeg. Winnipeg scored the first shift of overtime, but Montreal had dominated the game. So the 60 minutes kind of got forgotten in the 35 seconds of overtime. They're going to be a problem. I think that's the type of team that they're healthy. If they are healthy, I wouldn't trust anything Burge says, if he's going to add anybody or not. They're going to, you know, Eric Staal will help them because they're going to ask him to play a limited role. It's not like they're asking him to carry the offense. I think it's a good team. I really do.
I don't know. We never talked about it. What did you guys think? Because I've seen it twice now. I witnessed it live once in Ottawa and then watched it on TV the other night against Montreal Edmonton, but Montreal shadowed McDavid. Like, I don't know if you saw that. They actually had like the old school 1980s, like Ken Linsman shadowing Gretzky. Like, McDavid was skating around, and it was Deno, it was Tatar, like, it was just mirroring him. And
maybe
McDavid,
they watched some video of Ottawa shutting him down a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm not going to go back this far, Jamie, but The coach in Ottawa shut McDavid down in the OHL finals 1 year, and maybe he has a recipe, and Ottawa watched it. They basically said, DJ Smith was like, this guy's not beating us in the OHL finals. And whenever they play Edmonton, they kind of, well, he's destroyed them a bunch. But
In Edmonton, where he can't get the matchups, but in Ottawa, he's been a little bit quieter, right?
Yeah, but that's how you got to do it, man. Why not? Who cares? Just don't let him beat you, because it's just like all these teams, they got these two or three players. Do not let them beat you, and that was their way.
Well, just think, if you get that responsibility, right, you don't even think about, I would assume, where the puck is. Your whole game is to stay between him and the net. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Kind of humiliating, but you got to do what you got to do.
It is somewhat. It's not humiliating. You're in the NHL.
It is. It's basically like, don't care about the puck. Just don't let him score.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is. It's, I don't care what else you do. Just follow this guy around. Like, well,
that's humiliating, Brian.
But he's chewing up the league. So, I mean, that's what Gretzky did. I remember thinking back to it, because I watched it live, Nick Paul mirroring him in the neutral zone. And you may not have to mirror him the whole time, but there were certain points on the ice where Ottawa was like, we can't allow this guy to wind it up. So have somebody on him. And watching Montreal, it was the same type of scenario. It was like, we need, and again, Edmonton had played 3 games in 4 nights. McDavid was having a night. He was having a bad night to start off with and just wasn't having it that night. It'll be interesting to see how he responds, because believe me, star players, they'll find a way around that as well. So it just, on that particular night, watching Montreal, mirror him and basically try and slow him down and frustrate him, they got to him that night. And that's one night out of 56, but it was, you could tell.
It should be green light special for Draisaitl too, though, right? Like,
right.
It's like, you guys go ahead and focus on him.
Yeah, he was
no
good.
No, he was horrible the other night, but... Like, if you're put all your eggs in that basket, and I'll go do my thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. Tough news out in Vancouver, obviously, as well, with the COVID shutdown, and more names are coming out, and players. I think Edler, Gaudette, Hamonic, Holpe, Hughes, McEwen, Roussel. Those are the latest, and I think members of the coaching staff as well. So they're going to be shut down for a while.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I'm not real sure how they're all going to deal with it, but if that's the case, I think it's going to be 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Before, I think that's what Jersey went through when they were zapped early in the year. Buffalo did it too.
So obviously the
fact that this many people are infected is, it's jarring to see, but the only reason they're any different than anybody else is, they're being tested all the time. But it tells you, in between tests, somewhere they didn't get a test result back, obviously, quick enough.
Yep.
And I think, and Gaudette seemed to be the first one. So, as soon as that first test slipped through the reporting procedure, if that's indeed the way it went, then all of a sudden you've got this mess. I mean, I don't even know what the league's step forward is, what they're going to do with the games, how they're going to, are they going to get those games in? Is there a way to do it? I think we're probably headed towards the scenario where it's points percentage that determines playoff spots in some cases.
Got to happen, man.
Yep. I think you're probably right. There's a timeline. You got to get the playoffs going. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, have a great call tonight. Leafs Jets on TSN4. We look forward to it. Have a great weekend. We'll break it all down on Monday.
Yeah, happy Easter to everybody. I hope everybody has a good weekend, and we'll look forward to a good game tonight.
You got it. All right, there he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.